Amen. Thank you so much, Ms. Trangmar. If you have your Bible tonight, if you turn to Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 8 in your Bible, and we're going to resume the series that we were looking at before the meeting in Daniel chapter 8. We finished Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to begin tonight and going to read just a little bit. Not going to read all of the chapter, but I want to read some of the chapter so we can get a good picture. I'm going to try to preach the whole chapter in about 30 minutes, and we'll see if that can be done. I am certain of some things in this chapter that I was uncertain of in Daniel chapter 7, but if you'll look there with me in verse number 1, Daniel chapter 8, this is Daniel's second vision. And I guess if you titled the message, that's what I would call it, Daniel's second vision. Verse number 1, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan, in the palace which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to all his, or according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven, and out of the one of them came forth a little horn which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at that time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, wherefore as four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand upon it up out of the nation, but not in its power. Now, when I read all of that I'm reading right now, and I get to where I am here in the Bible, It helps me to understand that God is telling me exactly what I'm looking at, though I may not understand it. The ram which thou sawest, verse 20, having two horns of the kings of Media and Persia. So I understand who that is. Those horns, Cyrus and Darius. And then in verse 21, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. That's Alexander the Great. I can see that. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. Now I can see that also being those four generals that took Greece to the next level. Now verse 23, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgression are come to a full, the king of the fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Now this king to me is the Antichrist. And his power shall be mighty, but not in his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, only time that word occurs in the Bible, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. And he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Daniel said, what I just saw made me sick. Made me sick. Certain days, not just an evening. He says that I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Now, I think there's a lot in the passage that we could look at that would have to do with the kingdom of the Antichrist. And most men, if you look in the commentaries, are going to speak much about the Antichrist. But I think what I want to do tonight instead is I want to do this. I believe in Daniel chapter 8 that the vision that is given Daniel came from God. And I'd just like to say tonight, I'm glad that God works in dark times. Amen. And what I mean by that is this. When you look at the story of the ram that's standing by the river and this goat that just slams into him. It almost looks like something that happens on 385 around Woodruff Road, doesn't it? The Bible says in verse 7, I saw him come close to the ram and he was moved with choler. He's mad. And he smote the ram and break his two horns. I mean, it's not just enough to smote him, stick him with the horn, but now he's going to break his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. He cast him down the ground and stamped upon. It's just dark. It's a dark passage that gives great direction toward the Antichrist. And there's a dark day coming. But I'd like to say tonight, church, I have no expectation to be here for one day of the tribulation. I plan on leaving when the trumpet sounds, and that's going to be before the tribulation starts. Amen. So I'm not going to be here to meet this man. I'm not going to be here to meet the Antichrist. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. In fact, I tell you, you shouldn't be looking for the Antichrist either. You should be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you should be looking for. So it would be easy to focus then on the Antichrist and what it says about him. But instead, I want to focus a few moments on the Lord working in the dark right here. If you look with me there in verse number 1, again, we've already decided that ram is Persia, Medo-Persia, that goat is Greece, Alexander's in the middle of that, and that little horn probably the Antichrist. The Bible says, though, in verse 1, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. That's his first vision. And as I begin to look at the different things that are in here, if you'll notice verse number 2, it talks about Shushan, the palace. If you read your Bible, then you understand where that is. You can go to the book of Nehemiah and you can go to the book of Esther and you can find Shushan the palace and you can find out what happens at Shushan the palace. The only problem is that is written at a time when I don't even know if the palace exists at Shushan. In other words, that's something that is out in the future. This horn that comes up is something that's at Greece is not even a nation really of any kind of note when this chapter is written. And that just leads me to say this. I'm glad, are you listening? I'm glad that I have a God who has foreknowledge of what's going to happen even in a dark time. Honestly, I thought that I knew what was going to happen in 2020, and what I thought was going to happen in 20 did not happen in 2020. And I have no idea what's going to happen in 2021, but I'm going to tell you what I do know. I know the God that I serve has enough knowledge to know what's out in the future. He knows what's behind, and I know I can put my hand in His hand and trust what direction He's going. Amen. I appreciate the fact that He can look forward into the future. I'm not going to do it tonight, but I got to writing down some of the things about prophecy. The book of Psalms is written 1,000 years before Jesus Christ, and it tells you exactly what the words of His crucifiers would be. It tells you the place of His wounds. It tells you what kind of clothes He would wear. It speaks the words that He would say at the cross of Calvary, and that His bones would not be broken. I'm just here to say tonight, hey, I've got a Bible and a God that knows the end from the beginning, and I can count on Him knowing the way through the wilderness. Amen. I went and looked through the Old Testament. 740 years before Christ was born, the book of Hosea was written, and yet it spoke about Egypt being His hiding place. 710 years before the book of Micah, or before Jesus was born, was the book of Micah written, and it told about the city and country of His birth. Isaiah speaks about the virgin birth. 700 years before Christ is born, and I could go on in Zechariah and Malachi, and all I'm just saying is, not, are you listening? We have a book that is accurate prophetically because we have a God that can see the end from the beginning. I praise the Lord for that. That helps my heart. In fact, go if you would just a moment. Look at 1 Peter, if you would, just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Daniel had no idea what's going on in this vision that God gives him. But 1 Peter chapter 1, if you look at it, our family, we went into a church and heard a man preach when we were out of town the Sunday last. And he was dealing with Calvinism. And he was talking about a few things in regards to that. And I want you to see it in the Bible. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now he's talking about the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, verse 1. In other words, he's talking about the church. The church is called elect. That church is elected. It's predestined for glory. And it says that it's elect according to the foreknowledge of God. So what people do is they say, well, then God knows everything from before it happens. And that is the case. I have a God that knows everything. He is omniscient. But that doesn't mean that God makes everything happen. If you look down just a few verses, look at verse number 20. The only time the word foreordain occurs in your Bible. Look what it says in verse 20. Speaking, let's just get verse 18 for context. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now look at verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last time for you. The only place you find the word foreordained in the Bible is in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him being the lamb without spot and blemish and being able to take His blood and cleanse from sin. So here's what I would say. It was foreordained that the lamb would be the sacrifice for all men. But God's foreordaining never applied to an individual being saved. His foreknowledge, knowing something, doesn't make that thing happen. Just because God knows what's going to happen doesn't mean that He makes it happen. However, I would say this. I'm glad I got a God that knows what's going to happen. Amen. Amen. On the way home from North Carolina, we were trying to get back, and I was planning on being at a particular place at a certain time to be able to pick up Brother Knox, and we got on the interstate and got behind a wreck. It couldn't have happened. Couldn't have happened more than just a couple of minutes right in front of us. Had a great big red fire truck that was there at the gas station. I think they were probably getting something to eat, fueling up, but there was no urgency to them, no rushing. And when we pulled onto that interstate, boy, all of a sudden, man, blue lights go by, and then that same fire truck goes by, and not too far right ahead of us, there was a wreck that had taken place, and it looked like somebody had come across the median and hit somebody head on 85. Now, you know what? I have no knowledge of anything of what was going to happen, but I do believe this. I believe that my God knows what's going to happen. And if my God wants to, he can interject himself anywhere he wants to. And I'm telling you tonight, if I'd have known that wreck was going to happen, I would have gone a different way around it. I would have taken another way to get back to where I was going, not to be delayed. But I just don't know what's going to happen in the future. But that's okay. I don't have to know what's going to happen in the future. I just need to know who knows what's going to happen in the future. That's what I need to know. I need to be able to know that in the dark, in a difficult time, I have a God that knows what the future holds. And I'm telling you tonight, that may not be a help and encouragement to you, but it's helping me right now. I have no idea what's going to happen with the Equality Act in the Senate. I have no idea what's going to happen if it moves all the way out into the country and LGBTQ agenda is pushed and we're threatened by it at the school. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I do know one thing. My God knows what's going to happen, and I'm going to keep marching to his orders, not their orders. So I've got a God that is able to know what's going to happen in the dark. I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for that. And then if you go back to Daniel chapter 8, not only is there so much mentioned about future events, because God knows what's going to happen in the future. But if you look down at verse number 15, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning." He said, "I really don't understand what I've looked at. I don't understand." Now, what we have recorded in Daniel chapter 8, 1 through 14 is the Bible. The scripture, this is God's word. And Daniel is saying, "I don't understand it, but I'm trying to figure it out." In fact, if you look what the Bible says at the end of verse 16, that Gabriel is sent to make him understand the vision. You see that? Look in verse number 17 again. "But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision." And what he's telling me is, I'm trying to help you understand what you're looking at. And I know, Daniel, right now you got the vision from God. You've heard him speak, but Daniel doesn't know what's going on. And I'd like to say secondly about this vision. Number one, I'm glad that God has the foreknowledge to be able to see the future in a dark time. But I'm also glad that God continues to speak in a dark time. Now, my Bible's finished. I've got 1,189 chapters and 66 books. We don't need any more verses added. We don't need any verses taken away. We don't need one word changed. They're all just like they ought to be. All right, but I am glad that God continues to speak. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 that the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times that some shall depart from the faith. God can speak in a dark time. And we have some people right now, they're living in a dark time. They really don't know what's going to happen next week. They have no idea if the treatment is going to be successful. We have missionaries right now that have no idea if they're going to be able to get back into the country they're trying to go to that God sent them. They have no idea. There is no way of knowing, and it's a difficult time. It's a hard time. We have people that are trying to recover from illnesses and sicknesses. And they're just like you and I. They begin looking, "Well, God, we've prayed, but you haven't answered the way we wanted you to answer yet." And they begin looking for a promise. I gave out promises tonight to Toby Moody, and I said, "Toby, Philippians chapter 4 is a good place for you to stand when you're in the middle of not knowing what's going to happen to your sister." I tried to help her with that. And we began to look for that. But you know, sometimes it just gets dark and we don't understand. And that's exactly what Daniel doesn't understand. In fact, even when it's all over, if you look at verse number 27, he's faint and he is sick. And the Bible says he's astonished at the vision. He's amazed at what's going on. But look at the end of it. Would you look at the end? Look at verse number, look in your Bible now, verse 27. Look what it says. "I was astonished at the vision." But you see those last four words? "But none understood it." It looks like to me that there's still stuff in chapter 8 that Daniel doesn't understand even after Gabriel came down and tried to help him. Well, can I say something to you? If Gabriel shows up and tries to help you understand and you don't get it, you might probably never get it. It's just going to be beyond you. And what that makes us sometimes is fearful because it's dark and you know, the finances aren't right. And I got problems in my marital future. I don't know what's going to happen, preacher. I've got problems with one of my children, and I'm really uncertain. The health, there's a problem in our health. My son is sick. My mother is sick, and I don't understand what's going on. The ministry is just, it seems so hard right now. And in the middle of all that darkness, I'm glad God still speaks in the darkness. Are you listening to me? Paul is a great example of that. We looked through that in the book of Acts on that ship in the middle of Euroclidon. Man, that boat is going up and down. They hadn't seen the light of day, no stars. And you know what happened? There was a voice of one that stood by him. Christian, I'm telling you, when it gets dark, God doesn't stop speaking. He keeps speaking. Amen. And Paul inside that Philippian jail, and at midnight, he's praying and singing praises to God, and God shows up, and he unlocks all of those doors, and he looses those chains. You know why? Because God speaks at night. Boy, Naomi and Ruth, their life is in a mess, and it's broken, and there's so many things about their life they didn't expect. Here lies my husband, and here lies my two boys, and Naomi and Ruth and Orpha, they're in the house, and it probably is a very dark time, and yet somebody from a far country comes and tells, hey, there's some bread now back in Bethlehem, Judah, and their life goes a different direction. Hey, I'm glad God speaks at night. And I am not preaching that so I can get somebody. I'm telling you, it's a truth in the Bible. Daniel has got these visions that have made him sick and astonished. And he's saying, I don't understand. God, I don't understand. How many times has somebody said, God, why? I don't understand. Why did you take them? You know, it comes to my mind, Brother Brian Swofford, 46 years of age, pastoring a church that obviously he should have been in. Things going very well. A good man of God, a good preacher. And yet 46, he's gone, and we're saying, God, but please, we wanted you to raise him from this hospital bed. Why, God? I'm just going to tell you, when you get in the middle of the dark, you just remember this. There's a God that speaks even when it's midnight. You need to listen to his voice. And that's what Daniel's trying to do. He's trying to hear what God has to say. Well, I think we'll move on a little bit here. The Antichrist is mentioned here, I believe, in 23, 24, and 25. And he is just, everything about his kingdom during that tribulation is an awful thing. And I'm not going to spend time on him, but I do want you to look at verse 24. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. So obviously he has the devil giving him his power. He shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper. You see that word prosper? The Antichrist and his kingdom is going to appear to prosper and practice. And look what it says, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. He's killing God's people. But I want to say, can I say something right there? And maybe we'll pick this up Wednesday night. I am certain that anybody that is against the Jewish people and hates the Jew, I believe that's demonic and devilish is what I believe. When you look in your Bible, the Antichrist, he's destroying the mighty and the holy people. He's talking about the Jewish people. Verse 25, through his craft also shall he cause craft to prosper. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. You see that in your Bible? He's destroying the mighty and the holy people. He's destroying many. He's prospering. And he looks invincible. And if you look, I believe he even thinks that of himself. The Bible says he magnified himself in his heart. And look what it says. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. I tell you what. I'm feeling myself right now. And I'm pretty much in control right now. I'm running everything on the earth. I've got power. I'm destroying the mighty and the holy people. Just like those two witnesses that you find there in Revelation. That he prevails against. And they're laying in the street for 3 days, and people are rejoicing and they're giving gifts away, and the devil's crowd is saying, hey, we finally got rid of all those crazy Bible people. We're finally done with all those people. But you know what happened on the third day? Those two men, they got up from the dead. Amen. And here in this passage, if you look at it, when he stands up against the Prince of Princes, do you see that contrast and conjunction, verse 25? But he shall be broken without hand. In other words, God has power in the dark to overcome whatever the devil has to throw at his people. Amen. Say it again. Look at it. Verse 25. When he stands up against the Prince of Princes, he shall be broken without hand. And it reminded me about those kingdoms that we saw, that mountain, that stone that's cut out without hands and comes and crushes the feet of that great statue and just blows it into pieces. It may look like the devil's crowd is prevailing right now. It may look like legislation is moving the wrong direction. But hey, one day the King of Kings is going to make it all right when he steps back onto this planet. Amen. Hallelujah. You got power in the dark. You can't limit God Almighty. It's been years since I heard it, but I believe I heard it in chapel. And I really believe that the devil was present at Calvary. I believe that. The Old Testament speaks about those adversaries coming near. Where is mine adversary? Let him come near. And I believe Satan was enjoying seeing Jesus Christ suffer. And I believe when he said it is finished, and then they took him down off that cross, I think hell is rejoicing. I think the devils are rejoicing. When they put him in that tomb, and they seal that tomb, and they set that watch, There are the devils of hell rejoicing. Man, we won. Only problem was 3 days later, kicked that stone aside, folded up that thing, a napkin around his head, left those grave clothes, got him a brand new set of clothes, and walked out in his own power. Boy, I thought we had everything under control. Boy, the Antichrist is going to think, I got it under control. And he's going to find out somebody has got a whole lot more control and power than he does. Amen. Now, I know the Antichrist and its system's working now. But he doesn't have more power than our God has power. In fact, we've been praying over some of these cards on Wednesday nights and the names of people. And today, I'm telling you, in our men's prayer room, one of our men got to talking about, well, my wife's grandmother got saved. And then my mother, we told her about the meeting, and she listened to all three of Brother Knox's messages on the way home. And then I think it was a brother-in-law that called me up and said, hey, I got to think about it. I need to be a better father and lead my children right, and started reading a chapter in the Bible every day. And you say, boy, isn't that a good coincidence? No, that's not coincidence. That's the power of God at work in a dark time. I'm glad that I have a God that has foreknowledge in a dark time, that has a voice that continues to speak in a dark time, and that has power in a dark time. Amen. That means we're on the winning side. Amen. Some of y'all need to tell yourself that. You don't look like you're on the winning side right now. Honestly, some of you look like, oh my God. That's why I preached about the vision from Daniel and not the Antichrist tonight. Brother Knox has got my mind in one track right now. I'm seeing Jesus everywhere. Amen. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have got our church conference. We need to do that right quick. So, Lord, we do thank you that we can look in your Bible and things that look so imposing and things that may look very fearful and the thoughts about a 7 years of tribulation where there's all kinds of wickedness and all kind of evil. And it seems as if Satan Superman is carrying the day. Lord, thank you that before that time ever gets here, not only will we be gone, but you can work in a dark time and you can speak in a dark time. And you've got the answers that when there's nobody that knows what to say. God, thank you for that. We're resting in you, Lord. We're trusting in you, Lord.